Ask everyone to please bow your heads. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So we're going to say a little prayer to the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we know each and every one of us here is unique in your creation. There's one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, come enlighten us, guide us, strengthen us. Please anoint our ears, our hearts, our minds. Receive truth from today's readings. Please help us to be receptive. Please speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that each and every person here may receive something today in the sermon. I ask this in your holy name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my dear friends in Christ, today we celebrate the Ascension. And St. Paul tells us what that is. It's 40 days after the resurrection. Our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, body and soul, visibly where the apostles saw him do that. Now, what happened between the resurrection and the ascension? St. Paul says, he gives us some ideas. He gave us many proofs that he had suffered. They could see his wounds. They were like trophies. He instructed them. He was encouraging them. And basically, he was saying, I'm going to be going to the Father. Now, you're going to have to go. You're my visible representatives here. The sacraments, the Eucharist, confession, you have to bring them out. I'm sending you out. But he was stirring up in their heart an ardent desire for heaven. St. Louis de Montfort, in his Meditations on the Rosary, he said, when we pray the second glorious mystery, where we meditate on our Lord's ascension into heaven, that we should pray for that gift of an ardent desire for heaven. For if we don't desire it, we will never obtain it. You know? You ever watch sports? The teams that make it to the World Series, the Super Bowl, the NBA Championship. It's not just the talent. The other teams maybe have equal talent, but they have a greater desire, a greater hunger to achieve that. Not just one member, but all of them, a greater hunger and desire. And that's something the Feast of the Ascension is supposed to stir in our heart, that Christ ascends to heaven, above all the suffering, the pain, a place he goes to prepare a place for us, to ardently desire that. Now, many times in the course of our life, we desire things that won't lead us to the kingdom of heaven. So we call that foolishness. St. Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians, he says a special prayer for them. He says, may God give you a spirit of wisdom so you may choose what's right, resulting in the knowledge of him. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Because many times people go on paths, they go on roads that won't lead them to the kingdom of heaven. So pray for the gift of true wisdom. Now, when someone starts setting their desires in the kingdom of heaven, they then begin the spiritual journey. When we started seminary our first year, we had different classes on spirituality. And this was said, this was from Garrigou Lagrange, a great Dominican. So the beginning of the interior life, you know, that's developing our relationship with Christ, developing our spiritual muscles, our soul, expanding our heart, receive God's love so it's filled with him rather than ourselves. It says, here's the beginning. As soon as a man seriously seeks and desires truth and goodness. Seriously, it says. You're making effort to do something. The interior conversation, then what will happen? The interior conversation with himself tends to become a conversation with God. Think about it, during the course of the day. Maybe you've had a conversation with someone and 2 hours later you're reliving it. Oh, I should have said this, I should have said that. You're conversing with yourself. Or you're driving, like, oh man, I should have taken a ride. I can't believe what was I thinking. You're conversing with yourself. But the more we grow in the interior life, the more that conversation will be with God rather than self. And little by little, continue the quote, instead of seeking himself in everything, instead of tending more or less consciously to make himself a center, man tends to seek God in everything and to substitute for egoism, love of God and of souls in him. That's a beautiful grace once a soul begins the interior life. Now, just going to Mass on Sunday doesn't mean someone's begun. Interior life, the absolute basic means we're living in a state of grace. If we fall, we'll get to confession as soon as we can. We're living in a state of grace. We have some regular prayers, and we're going at least minimally, at least the one Mass on the weekend, right? That's the beginning. But you know what, folks? God's a loving Father. And he hates to see a soul just remain in the cradle after baptism and just stay there where nothing else happens. Can you imagine if a grandparent visiting a new grandchild, and then they live on the other side of the world. They visit them 5 years later, and they still see the grandchild in the cradle. And more. 5 years in person, the child perfectly healthy, but they're like, what's going on here? There's something wrong. Same thing in the spiritual life. I think many souls remain in the cradle. And God wants to give that soul so much. Get out of the cradle, start crawling, walking, and then running. Now listen to those beautiful words of wisdom from St. Catherine of Genoa. She had an ardent desire for heaven. So much so that the Lord Jesus would appear to her at times. She was a mystic. She said this, I see, the Lord showed and revealed, I see that God is ever ready to give us all the interior and exterior aids necessary for our salvation, and that he observes our deeds solely for our own good. And then she says this, but now I see on the other hand, I see man continually occupied in useless things, contrary to himself and of no value. And that at the hour of death, God will say to him, what is there, O man, that I could have done for thee which I have not done? And I am amazed and cannot understand how man can be so mad as to neglect a thing of such vast and extreme importance. We have to desire heaven. We have to make that a priority. Now, some of you are blessed, got the call, you were here, Father Dennis Doelter gave a 2-day mission, Friday night in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, beautiful. And then on Saturday morning on the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I couldn't hear most of that because I was back in the confession, but I heard the one on the Sacred Heart. And he, just beautiful things about the interior life. And from a book that he was using called From Personal Consecration to the Sacred Heart, the Lord speaking to the soul, listen to this, all the disturbances of the soul, those worries and anxieties in a person who does not seriously sin, all those come from and proceed from desiring their own honor more than mine. Think about that, desiring their own honor more than mine. And then he made this comment too, real simple, direct, but a lot of truth there. He says, you know, many people, as they come towards the end of their life, maybe they have cancer. The doctor says you only have a few days to live. So he says, Lord, I want to be with you in heaven. Lord, I want to be with you in heaven. And Father Doelter went like this, imitating Christ. Really? Really? You want to spend all eternity with me, and you couldn't spend 1 hour in Eucharistic adoration a week? Whoa. How many of us does that convict? We have Eucharistic adoration here every morning. On the first Fridays at Nativity BBM, we have adoration in the evening. We have adoration Friday morning through the night and the Saturday morning. I even scheduled the wedding rehearsals on Thursday night so we won't interrupt that time. Funerals and things like that is hard to say. But we have adoration there. Our Lord begs, could you not watch an hour? Do you desire to be with me really for all eternity? Really? You know, we have the sign-up sheets there for adoration. See, a lot of good people, they sign up there. There's other people, I'm sure, that maybe rearrange your schedule to spend time with the Lord. But the names are never up there. And I think about the Lord looking out. Sometimes his heart is filled with joy when he sees his children that come before him so he could strengthen them, so they could grow in the interior life. But he has to look out, too, with the sadness, like with a sigh. Oh, they're not here. There's a beautiful scene in the Gospels. One of the few instances where our Lord is crying, he looks out over Jerusalem and he just sighs. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, as a mother hen would gather her chicks under her wings, but you would not. I sent you the prophets, I sent you so many graces and leaders, but you would not. You would not. I want you in the kingdom of heaven with me for all eternity, but you would not. I look for you to come and spend time with me outside of Mass. But you would not. Do you really desire heaven? Do you really desire an eternity with me? Now, I was thinking along those lines, Father Dennis, the statement. I was thinking, do you really desire then your sins to be wiped away? Clean slate. Do you go to confession? Do you desire peace of heart? how much time do you spend in quality prayer, quality time, with the Prince of Peace? Do you desire forgiveness, to be forgiven of all your sins? But you hold on to that grudge of your neighbor from 25 years ago, or that teacher that was mean to you in class. Do you really desire forgiveness? Well, God wants to do wonderful, spectacular things for us, but we hold ourselves back, you know? I'm hoping everyone here from time to time during the week, you get those interior inspirations. You know, I should arrange my schedule. I spend some time in prayer. Maybe I should break the plastic binding on my Bible and actually open up and read a little bit of it. St. Ignatius Loyola says this. St. Ignatius. Few souls, minority, suspect what God would make them if they place no obstacles to his work. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work, you know, going around inflaming souls and other souls. He comes by, but the door is still closed. He can't get in. They got some big mortal sins. They haven't got a confession, so it's blocked. I was reading, this thought just came to my mind. There's an article I read, this gentleman is real deep in the spiritual life. And he said that, you know, the Lord really speaks in the interior of his heart. And he said that one day he blew up at somebody. Something that was trivial. It had nothing to do with the Eucharist or defending the faith, nothing like that. And then he said he went into church. He was there for 5 hours. Silence. He couldn't hear the Lord at all. He said it wasn't until he went to confession. Now he could hear the Lord. Now what I'd like to share with you is something from our Lord Jesus Christ, his words to St. Faustina. And when our Lord spoke to St. Faustina, he told her, you're to take these words down. So it's not just for you, but it's for the world. You know, most of you are familiar with this. I'm a broken record of the Divine Mercy. Our Lord appeared to St. Faustina in the 1930s. If you were here for that Divine Mercy Mass, you all got a diary. Well, paragraph 1701, she said, I went to chapel. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I went to chapel. She longs to be with the Lord, you know. That's why she's a saint, right? The Church says, this soul is in heaven. I asked the Lord today that he may deign to teach me about the interior life. That's a good person to ask, right? Lord, teach me about the interior life. And this is what the Lord said. First, number one, our Lord didn't say first, second, third, or fourth, but I broke the paragraph into 6 points. First, strive to make your heart like unto my humble and gentle heart. That's number one. You have to pray for humility. We have the image of the Sacred Heart here. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. It's a beautiful prayer to pray every day. There's a really holy priest in our diocese. He's in his 80s. And he said he prays a prayer every day. He looks at the Sacred Heart, or if you have a statue or picture, and he touches it, and he touches his heart. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. First is humility. So you need humility to go to confession, right? We need humility to forgive others. So first is humility. Humility means, well, I got to spend time with God because I can't do it by myself. Second, never claim your rights. I have a right to this. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. You know, you didn't create yourself. Third, bear with great calm and patience everything that befalls you. Wouldn't that be great? Bear with great calm and patience everything that befalls you. But first, you have to have the humility. Don't claim your own rights. And every day you pray for that, Lord, grant me calm and patience. So he said, four, because we see God's providence. Everything that happens to us, good, bad, everything, God's providence is working there. So we have to see that. Four, do not defend yourself when you are put to shame. Though innocent, let others triumph. That's difficult. But all we need to do is look at the first station of the cross. The innocent one, the Lamb of God, he's condemned to death, but he remained silent. Great example. Great example. I remember reading the life of St. Dominic Savio. They accused him of something. He was a young saint, died about the age of 14. And they said, well, why do you defend yourself? Because Jesus remained silent when he was accused. And he says this, fifth point, do not stop being good when you notice that your goodness is being abused. I myself will speak up for you when it is necessary. You ever had a thing in your family like you're trying to be good but it's never returned? Well, Lord said, don't worry. Don't you stop being good. Keep doing what's right, what's good. And then our Lord says, from time to time, if need be, I'll speak up for you. So number six, be grateful for the smallest of my graces, because your gratitude compels me to grant you new graces. An attitude of gratitude. The minute you come to church, thank you, Lord, that I have the grace to be here. You turn to prayer sometime in the middle of the day, or you're driving the private time. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that now that I'm responding and entering the prayer. You pick up the Bible, read a chapter. Thank you, Lord, for the grace I'm responding. So every time we respond to these little graces and thank God for it, he said, I want to give my, your gratitude compels me to give you more and more graces. Now, all of us here, at these words being spoken here, we're all at different levels. Some of your hearts are wide open. You want to receive everything Christ wants to give you. Some of you are like, well, that sounds good. Well, my words aren't going to do anything, but you have to ask the Lord. There should be some kind of desire, at least, because you're here, that you want to be in heaven, that you want to have that eternal peace and joy that Christ wants to give you. So ask the Lord today, Lord, grant me that gift of desire that St. Louis de Montfort talked about, an ardent desire for heaven. You pray for that. It'll transform you. Because once you get that desire, then you start setting goals and you set your sights. I used this example of the other masses. People that go to the Super Bowl, these athletes in the World Series, all that. Many times, it's like those teams, they really, really desired, they hungered for it. So pray for that same hunger. Not for a paper crown. The next year is forgotten. Or when you die, it's forgotten. But something that's eternal. Well, Father, I have that inheritance. My father died, and I should be getting a fourth of that. Hold on. You're all upset by something on the material level? Really? You're going to damn your soul? Your heart will be filled with jealousy and anger because you don't have that? You can't take it to the heaven. Always remember, that's true wisdom. We can't take anything with us, only the love that we have in our hearts. The unforgiveness. Forgive. We're here a short time. So as a priest, I've said this before, I look out. My desire is, dear Jesus, that every single soul here will someday behold your face in heaven. When I elevate the host of the Lamb of God, it's one of the interior prayers I'm praying, that all who are gazing upon the host will someday gaze upon your face in heaven. So, dear Jesus, grant each and every one of us here a true, ardent desire, a hunger for heaven, and then we'll be carried out in our deeds. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.